Hello, this is the Tommy Divine Podcast. It is December 15th. We'd like to welcome you back to the program. It's been a little while. We took a good two-week hiatus. Last week I was going to do a show, but I felt a little bit raspy in my throat. You can still tell it's a little bit there, but I am on the bounce back of that. Little chest thing going on, little chest cold, no problems. So I'm feeling a lot better. Just hitting the water pretty hard. And, you know, the week after Thanksgiving, we took off. So we are back. And since we last left you with a Jack Callison episode, a lot of crazy things have happened. Especially the Detroit Lions getting a win. And I know that's pretty old news in other worlds of sport, but the Detroit Lions winning a football game, going up against the Vikings, last second win. Congratulations to Coach Campbell. Congratulations to Jared Goff, you know, for getting that first win, you know, a tie and a win, that's a lot for the Lions. So I want to congratulate them, and really a class act for the Lions winning. But that's really the first business I wanted to intend to was congratulate the Lions on a win, and on to more somber news, and you know, I'm kind of switching facets here, but hang with me for a moment, because over the weekend I found out that Demaryius Thomas passed away. And Demaryius Thomas was a tremendously huge talent for the Denver Broncos. Great receiver for the organization. Great person, great humanitarian. Always thanked Peyton Manning for coming to Denver. Really a class act. And I just wanted to wish my condolences and prayers and thoughts with the Thomas family at this time. And I know, you know, they're going through a lot right now, and I really do hope that they can find the strength through this time to get through that, because it is, any death is tough. But this was not only a blow to them, it wasn't just a blow to the Broncos, it wasn't a blow, it was a blow to everybody. It really was. NFL fans would appreciate his play, and the fact that him and Peyton played together, and you know, I'm a Peyton guy, you know me, and I would watch a lot of those games, and not being a Broncos fan, but being just a Peyton fan, I was able to kind of look into the world of Demaryius Thomas, and he's just a great man, and the fact that he passed away was really saddening to me. You know, I think he was only like, you know, I could be wrong here, I think he was like late 30s, right? Mid to late 30s, very young to go. So just prayers and thoughts for his family in the upcoming weeks, months, especially as we head into the holiday season. I want to wish them all but the best, and prayers to them for the Thomas family. And we want to, show our condolences and everything for them. But I'm moving on now to what looks to be a really fun weekend in football this weekend. Let's talk about what we've missed here. So we look at week 14, real quick recap. Steelers, Vikings Thursday night. Pretty decent Thursday night game. Not a bad one. Thursday night's actually getting some pretty good games here pretty soon. But Steelers, Vikings was a good one. Vikings had a huge lead, almost blew it. What do you know? It's the Vikings. But now the Steelers, they lose that game. I know they were storming back. Najee Harris gets like two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, helps out my fantasy team. But they then beat the Ravens the week before, so they're now in a position where they pretty much need to win out if they want to win the division, obviously. But if you're the Steelers, kind of like, you know, what are we doing? I know we were on short rest against the Vikings, but they come in first half, you know, coming to beat on us. Now, you know, we're going to come back. You know, Steelers are a very interesting squad. I don't... excuse me. I really do think, with my heart of hearts, Big Ben is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. And he's just old. It's not because he's bad, because he doesn't have talent. He's just old. And some of the throws he makes, and you see shades of it at times, but it's just one of those things where he costs the team games at times. He does. Whether it's taking a sack, throwing a pick, he just costs the team games. So when you're looking at the rest of the schedule for them, and you take a look here and there, what? They're, let's see. They're 6-6 right now. They're behind Cleveland and Cincinnati in the division at 7-6. And they did beat Baltimore, so that does help. And they play Baltimore again in week 18, excuse me. And Pittsburgh is already, they play Cleveland once more. They play the Titans, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. Now that is tough. Now I know the Titans don't have Derrick Henry, but that's still a tough out, I think. That's probably their easiest game left on the schedule for the Steelers. But, you know, with such a clotted AFC and NFC playoff picture right now, especially for those lower seeds, this is a huge game for Pittsburgh coming up, and we'll talk about that here in the picks. But an interesting week 14, though. Chiefs killing the Raiders. They look to be pretty much back to being where they were before everybody in the world thought, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Their defense has started to pick it up a little bit. They're playing well. Yeah, Cowboys beat Washington. Washington comes back. Late surge in the fourth quarter. I kind of was watching Red Zone, and I was kind of watching Purdue basketball at the same time, which, oh my gosh, can we get into that for just like 2 minutes? Because I hate when they put Purdue on a Sunday afternoon. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's like, hey, can you put it at a time where there's not seven NFL games going on? But no, let's put IU, let's put Purdue basketball, let's put all these teams, you know, and I don't like IU basketball, but I feel bad if, like, if IU played at noon on Sunday. Why? Why? Why would you do that? I don't understand why college basketball thinks, hey, we're going to schedule Sunday afternoon games. Why? Why would you do it? College football, for all intents and purposes, is basically over. I know there's still bowl season left, but you can schedule games on Saturdays. Look, I don't think college, but until NFL season's over, college basketball should not be played on Sunday, at least not in the afternoon. But, you know, that's just my harp. I mean, because, you know, I got to flip back and forth between Purdue basketball and then the Red Zone, and it's like, you know, and I have a lot of TVs, but it's like, oh, man. So I'm watching the Purdue game on one. What a fantastic finish by them, by the way, to stay in the top five. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I'm watching that. And then all of a sudden I see, oh, Dallas, okay, has blown this 27-point lead and is now squandering it. And are we going to have the ultimate Dallas choke game? Dallas is able to hold on. Dak is not playing as well as we thought he was. Now, here's the thing. Dallas, I think we've said this the whole season, is going to win this division. That is going to happen. That is the most sure thing I've said about this NFL season all year. Dallas will win this division, and it really won't even be close. But you take a look at what they almost did, and almost choked against Washington. Taylor Heinicke looks good. I still think Taylor Heinicke's good. They could still get a wild card for all we know. But, you know, Dallas, you could kind of see the seedlings of it a little bit this week. Like, oh, we're going to blow a lead. Like, you could see it. You could see it start to kind of come into fruition if you're a Dallas fan. But, you know, other games this week, you know, late window was great, by the way. Late window was awesome. We had Bucks, Bills. We had Niners, Bengals, which I don't really know why one of those didn't get flexed into Sunday night, even though the Sunday night game was actually, for what everybody was giving it crap for, Bears-Packers was still pretty good, I thought. You know, the Bears were able to make plays. Fields was able to kind of run around, make some throws, just kind of do Justin Fields-type things. And they were up for a good chunk of that game, and I thought, oh, this is classic Bears go into Lambeau and somehow kind of beat this team. And, you know, they did it on Thanksgiving a couple of years back. They went in on Brett Favre's retirement banner night or whatever on Thanksgiving night, went in. Jay Cutler somehow dragged that team to a win. I thought we were going to see something kind of like that, but, you know, Bears do what the Bears do. They choke. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns. We all seen the story, but I will give this Bears team credit. They are going to come in and give them a game, but we go back to the late window. We had Niners, Bengals, Bills, Bucks, both go into overtime, all right? The fact that these weren't split up or anything. So we had these back-to-back overtime games. It was thrilling. It was probably the best late window of the year so far, in my opinion. So, you know, Buccaneers looked pretty good. They kind of coasted in the second half. They had a pretty good lead. They had like a 24-3 lead on the Bills. Bills come back. Josh Allen storming down. Knox looks really good. And, you know, of course, you have the Tom Brady last-minute touchdown in overtime. That's just kind of what he does. And then you look at kind of Burrow versus the Niners. The Niners look really good. They were able to just kind of drive on Cincinnati. Debo Samuel looks good. San Francisco, I'm starting to hear it, a little bit of buzz out of them. Like, they could really be a team come December, January, February. Maybe a team you don't want to face in the playoffs. That's a team you don't want to face. But, yeah, great overtime games this week. Great late window. 1 o'clock window was okay. It was decent, pretty good. You know, and it's fun for me now because, you know, the Colts were on a bye week. And now we have the Saturday night game coming up. It's awesome. This is just great stuff. But, you know, now I'm rooting actively for other teams to lose so that the Colts can keep getting better playoff chances, because we entered the weekend at the 9 spot. We are now in the 6th spot of the wild card. So now I have to continue to root against teams for the rest of the year. And I love that type of football. I love it. I love it. You crank it up. It's like, oh, I need this team, this team, this team, this team, and this team to lose. Okay, let's go for it. And, yeah, it's great stuff. We're finally in that time of year where Thanksgiving, now we turn it on. We get Saturday football. We get Christmas Day football. We get all this stuff. This is great. I'm loving this time of year. And let's get into it, because we got the slate for week 15. Week 15. Wow. Can you believe that already? Week 15. It's been a 15-week journey. Now, have I done podcasts for 15 weeks? No, I haven't. No, I haven't, but we're week 15 already. It's kind of crazy. But Thursday night, we have a great game, and this has some AFC West implications here on Thursday night. Now, when is it rare that Thursday night gets this good of a game? I feel like this is the best Thursday night game of the year. I could be wrong. If you want to prove me wrong, that's fine, but I think this is probably the best one. The Kansas City Chargers going in to SoFi to take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Kansas City is favored by 3. I like Kansas City by 2 touchdowns. Listen, I know Kansas City has been, they're on a win streak right now. And you're thinking maybe they cool the Jets a little bit against the Charger team. Herbert's still playing well. They've been a little shaky here and there. But I think at the end of the day, it's still Kansas City. Their defense is playing better. I think I like them by 14. I think I like them by 2 touchdowns. I think, you know, Herbert might make some mistakes. I like the pressure they're getting up front. Give me the Chiefs to win by 14 against the Chargers. All right. Here we go. We get into Saturday football now. I'm loving it. These are some really good games too. These aren't just meaningless crap games, because I remember they, one year it was like some of these Saturday games were like, let's do Bears Lions, let's do Texans Jets. It's like at least these Saturday games coming up have some meaning, like Raiders Browns. Now you may think, well, both of these teams are not very good, but they have to eliminate each other. This is a loser leaves town, 4:30 NFL Network on Saturday. The Browns are favored by 6. It's at Cleveland. So I'm taking Cleveland by 10 points. I'm going by a touchdown and a field goal. Give me Kansas City. Or, excuse me, sorry. Cleveland to beat Vegas. Listen, Vegas, I think, might be on that downfall where you've seen them in. They played not very well last week, I must say. They played, let's see. Yeah, they got beat by Kansas City pretty badly. So, you know, they come into this game. It's a short week for them. You know, short week for the Browns, too. But the Browns almost blew a game. But I'm not really liking Baker right now. But I think this is where Baker kind of gets it back. I think this is a loser leaves town. It's a very important game. You got to get the running game going if you're Cleveland. But you're at home. It's a Saturday afternoon. The dog pound's going to get going. Yeah, I like Cleveland by 10. I think it's a safe pick. I think, you know, dog pound on a Saturday. These Cleveland fans will be rioting. I mean, they won't have work the next day. Think about it. They already probably get drunk after the game and go crazy anyway. But think about it. They will have an extra day. They won't have to call in on Monday. They'll just have Sunday. They won't even have to play Sunday. They play Saturday. So these fans are going to go even more nuts. Give me Cleveland. Plus, it's probably the best thing on Saturday night in Cleveland anyway. So, Saturday afternoon. It's not even Saturday night. It's Saturday afternoon. It's 4:30 on a Saturday. These Cleveland fans are going to be nuts. They're probably going to be even tailgating on Friday night, to be honest with you. Yeah. I like Cleveland big. Big home field for them. Yeah. Give me Cleveland. All right. Now, this, in my opinion, is the game of the week. And it's not because my Colts, but it has a little bit to do with it. But this is a classic rivalry. New England, Indianapolis used to play in the same division. Then we went to the AFC, terrible division, AFC South. They stayed in the AFC East. We used to be rivals, but we still are. But, you know, since Manning and Brady, it's kind of lost its luster a little bit. I think the last time we met was on Thursday Night Football with Troy and Joe. Just not a good look for Colts-Patriots. But now, I don't know who the broadcasters are for any of these games on Saturday. But I'm hoping, could be wrong, we might get Nate Burleson. That would be great if we got Nate Burleson. He's phenomenal. If we can get him for one of these NFL Network games, that'd be awesome. But the Colts are favored at home by 2.5 over New England. Now, New England is currently, from what I have seen, is the number one spot right now. They do hold the number one seed. And you're thinking, wow, deja vu, right? Deja vu. Sorry for that little, if you heard that, that was just something binging on my computer. But you're thinking, oh my gosh, we're back to this again, aren't we? Look. New England is a very good football team. Mac Jones is a very good quarterback. And I am worried that he is going to be the first rookie quarterback to take his team to a Super Bowl. That's what I'm worried about. And I think the Colts are favored by 2.5 at home. That's a little high for me. I think it's a little nervous. I'm a little nervous about this because, you know, we are coming off a bye. So that is why I'm a little bit more confident. We are coming off a bye, so that helps a lot. But I am going to take my Indianapolis Colts. I think for the first time, or no, I've probably picked them before, but I like my Indianapolis Colts. We're at home. We're off a bye. We're ready. We've had 2 weeks to prepare for New England. You know, we've got to see them play. We got to see them probably play against Buffalo, right? We had that week off. And then we got to see them. Are you kidding me? Do they have the same bye week as us? So New England's coming off a bye too. Wow, this is weird. Well, it's not really that weird, but I think Indianapolis at home, that place absolutely hates New England. They hate it. And we haven't had a primetime game besides, I think, Thursday night in years. It has been years. I think we had another weird Saturday game against Denver 1 year. But this one means something. This is New England. New England's the number one seed. This is a big, big, big ball game. This is a huge ball game. This isn't just Patriots-Colts. This is a lot of AFC implications on the line. A lot of teams are watching this. It's on a Saturday night, okay? Saturday night doesn't get much bigger, okay? Doesn't get much bigger than this, all right? You're going to have the Crossroads Classic in town. You're going to have a lot of IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, Butler fans already, you know, out watching basketball. And then they're going to want to trickle into Lucas Oil and see Indianapolis whoop up on a New England team. That's what they're going to want to see. And it's a big day for the city. I love Indianapolis. I'm an advocate of the city. I love it very much. And this is a huge revenue day for the city. This is massive. I mean, you got Crossroads. Then you got Colts Pats on Saturday Night Football, basically. This is awesome. Both games are on NFL Network. This is a huge day for Indianapolis. And this game, the crowd is going to be so electric to have New England back in their stadium for a chance to not only go to the playoffs, but to bump up our spot here, to really solidify us as an AFC playoff team. And then to knock off the New England Patriots. Do you know how many teams are rooting for us this weekend on Saturday? Taking the Indianapolis Colts to win. Bottom line, New England's going to have to find. They barely beat Buffalo the other week. I know they're coming off a bye, but I like our chances at home. I don't think they can stop Jonathan Taylor. I think Taylor gets it going this week. We've been kind of banged up. We get some guys back. I like the Colts to win by 3 points. I think it's a close game, very close. Give me the Colts. All right, we got the 1 o'clock slate on Sunday. Oh boy, Panthers visiting the Bills. That oh man, Buffalo's favored by 10.5. I don't know what Carolina's quarterback situation is. I guess it's Cam. I don't know why it's Cam, but it is. They might as well start PJ Walker at this point. I don't know why they even think about putting Cam out there, but they are. Give me the Bills to win by 21 points. I think it's fair. They're due to whoop on a team. This is probably a good week to catch the Panthers, let's be honest. So I like the Bills to win by 21. I think they win that pretty handily against the Panther team that doesn't know what the quarterback situation is. So give me that. Give me the Bills. All right, the Cardinals and the Lions. These teams have, I feel like, played like last couple of years. And actually, these games have been pretty close and pretty good. Not this one. Look, you got everyone back healthy. Everyone's going to be playing well. It's a big day for Kyler. Going to Detroit in the dome. I think Arizona to win by 28 points. Now, the spread is Arizona by 13.5. I think they will cover that. I think at this point, I think Detroit's kind of... I know they won a game. I know we gave them some praise at the beginning of the show, but they just kind of, you know... I think they're at that point in the season now because, man, I'll tell you what. They lost to the Broncos 38-10. So if you're losing 38-10 to the Broncos, imagine what the Cardinals will come in and do to you. And if the Cardinals somehow lose this game, I would be shocked because it's kind of a trap game, but I'd be disappointed in the Cardinals if they didn't come in here and really on a dome turf field beat the holy crap out of the Lions team that is for the most part pretty miserable. So, yeah, give me the Cardinals to win by 28 points. Oh, my gosh. In any other year, I think this would be the Burn Your Cable Box game of the week. But there is a worse one, and it's one of my favorite ones at that. But the Jets traveled to Miami to take off the Dolphins. The Dolphins have actually found themselves in a spot where they could maybe make the playoffs and make a run here. They're 6-7. Hear me out. They're 6-7. Here's the rest of their games. Obviously, they play the Jets on Sunday. That is probably a win. They play the Saints. Saints are not very good, last time I checked. That could be 8-7. You play the Titans without Derrick Henry. That could be a win. And you're at home, or you're at Nashville, okay. That could be a cold game, but, you know, That's 9-7. And then you have New England at home, who traditionally doesn't do well in Miami. And B, they might not even be playing their starters in week 18 if they have a playoff spot wrapped up or the one seed. So if you're Miami, you have a shot here to be 10-7 to win your last four games. There really is a chance of that. I mean, there's a shot. And I'm saying, you know, do they mess up one of these games? Probably. But who knows? I mean, you never know. They're on a little bit of a win streak here, two-game win streak, putting up some points. I like the Dolphins the week big against the Jets. It's a 10-point favorite, Miami. Spread's 10. I like them to win by 12. I like them to win by 2 touchdowns. I'll take them over the Jets. Yeah, Jets have not. Yeah, they're the Jets. Come on, 3-10. Cowboys at the Giants. Dallas is favored by 10.5. Yeah, I think the Giants have just kind of packed it in for the year. They got killed by the Chargers on Sunday. I'll take Dallas to win by 14 points. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. Yeah, I think this is the week kind of Dak has been getting a lot of hate lately, hasn't been playing very well. This is a game where you can go in, really kind of reestablish yourself. Kind of, this is a reflection game before you go into the playoffs. Like, hey, let's go in here. Let's have a sturdy showing. Let's go in, kind of whoop on them a little bit, you know, and see what we can do and kind of reestablish that kind of beginning Dak Prescott we saw at the beginning of the season and see if he can recapture that. But, yeah, I do like the Cowboys to win pretty big here. 10.5. Yeah, I think they cover that. I think they win by 14. All right, the Washington professional football team heads to the Link in Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Philadelphia is favored by 6 at home. Don't know exactly why. They're favored by 6 over Washington. This is a loser-leaves-town match. The winner of this will advance in some sort of way in the playoff picture. The loser still has a chance, most likely, but probably will not make the playoffs. So this is a loser-leaves-town. And, you know, Taylor Heineke is going to get batteries thrown at him. It's snowy there in Philadelphia. He will get snowballs thrown at him. And if we're lucky, we'll see Santa Claus on the sideline. And Santa will have snowballs or batteries thrown in them or at him. Or sometimes what the Philly fans like to do is take the battery, put it inside of a snowball, and throw it directly at your face. Now, that is a fun one. That's a fun trick. So, yeah, look, this game's going to be close. These two are division rivals. We all know that. They know each other very well. I like Philly to win by... Actually, no, I'm going to take Washington. I think they come back last week. That shows them a little, they have a little resurgence, a little urgency in them. I like Heineke this week. I'm going to take Washington to beat Philadelphia by 3 points. Very close at the Link. I don't know if it's going to be snowing. There's probably going to be some sort of precipitation. Give me Washington to beat Philadelphia on Sunday. All right, Titans at Steelers. If Derrick Henry was in this game, I'd pick the Titans probably, but he's not. Tennessee is still favored, though, in Pittsburgh by 1.5. Pittsburgh at home while they're underdogs? No, I think Pittsburgh wins by 3. I think Tennessee's very overvalued. I don't think they're very good. Tannehill is, let's see. What do I want to describe Tannehill as? Should I go with gas station attendant? Should I go with, I don't know. Let's see. I think he's a manager at Dollar Tree. Anyway, yeah, and you know, that's fine. If you want to be a manager at Dollar Tree, you know, but don't be a quarterback in the NFL like, you know, you are right now with the Titans. You're not good. Here's the thing. I don't know why they're favored. I know Pittsburgh is bad, and I know you're saying, well, hey, Big Ben's just as bad. I think Big Ben might be a little bit better than Ryan Tannehill, but not by much, and that's what makes the difference. I think Pittsburgh wins. But I think it's close. It's a close game. But I like Pittsburgh to win. Hang on, barely. All right, boys and girls. It's time for the Burn Your Cable Box Game of the Week. So get your lighters, get your matches. Go to that Xfinity Cable Box and burn that baby up and throw the ashes out the window. because we got El Trashico for you this week. My classic matchup. I don't know how this wasn't a Thursday night game. Usually it is. Both teams 2-11. Winner will get a worst draft pick. Jacksonville at home is favored by 3.5. Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville. I don't know why they're favored. I don't know why they're favored by 2 or 3.5. I think Texans will cover. I think this game is horrible. I mean, I could coin flip on this. I don't know why it's not like a 1.5 or a 1 spread. But, you know, maybe I think Jacksonville's a little bit better. They got a little bit of running game with Robinson. Chenault's a pretty good receiver. So, I don't know. I will tell you what, though. I am yawning because that is a terrible game. So El Trashico, I'll take Jacksonville. And that's enough said about that. But I will say this, though, actually. Urban Meyer will not have a job at the end of the year. I think we all know that. And it's going to be funny to see who they hire to fill his spot. Because I think Urban Meyer will end up going to, you know, one of these college openings. Wherever that might be. So, should be fun to see where he goes, if he retires or whatever. But, yeah. Anyway, enough Jacksonville talk. We got another winner Leafs down match. The Bengals at the Broncos. Usually they have this on Monday night. Usually. I feel like they've had it like the past couple years on Monday night. This time it's 4:05. And if I am Jim and Tony and I'm looking around at the schedule, it's funny because I don't know what game they'd pick for them to do unless they just are going to get the day off. But if I were them, I'd choose either Broncos-Bengals or Niners-Falcons, which is weird. Falcons-Niners is on CBS, considering those are both NFC teams, but whatever. I don't understand all that. But they'll probably go to Titans-Steelers, I'm guessing, even though that's probably the worst of the games they'll pick, but they should go to Broncos-Bengals. But anyway, Broncos favored by 2.5 at home. That's a stretch. I think I like Bengals to bounce back after a loss last week. Heartbreaker in San Francisco. I'll take the Bengals to win by 3 points. I think it's a very close game at Denver. Give me the Broncos to lose by 3 points to the Bengals. All right, Niners at home against the Falcons. Both teams still in playoff contention somehow. Falcons still, I don't know how, but the Niners were able to string some wins together. They are same record as the Colts now, but they're favored by 9 at home against the Falcons. Yeah, that's too high for me. I think it's more like Niners by 3 or 6, but I'll take the Niners by 3 at home. This is a situation where, you know, Matt Ryan is like, hey, I'm going to come out and actually play well for some reason, even though I'm not good or my team's not good. But this is just one of those situations where Matt Ryan is going to screw you, so don't bet him. I'll take the Falcons to cover that. But, I mean, I like the Niners by 3. So give me the Niners at home. Might rain, who knows. But Falcons visiting, I like the Niners to win. All right, Seahawks at the Rams. Usually this is a pretty nice game. This is actually not a very good game. Even though technically the Seahawks are still alive, they won't be after this week. Look, the Rams looked really good on Monday night. Stafford's kind of looking back to being caliber quarterback that he was at the beginning of the season. They should take care of the Seahawks. It's at home. Rams are favored by 4.5. I think they should be favored by 8. I think they're really good. I think the Seahawks are done. I know the Vegas is probably worried about Russ. I just think since his finger injury, he's just not been the same quarterback. So I'm going to take the Rams in this one. So I like the Rams to win by 8 points. All right, Packers at the Ravens. This is probably the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman game, I would be assuming. But it's at Baltimore. Green Bay is favored by 4.5 at Baltimore. It's going to depend if Lamar plays. If Lamar does not play, and breaking news now, it's on a Wednesday. We're on a Wednesday here. It's December, 14th, 15th. Baker Mayfield is not going to play. And Kevin Stefanski both tested for COVID-19. So, considering the fact that Case Keenum might be better than Baker Mayfield, I might take the Browns to win by like 12 now in that game against Las Vegas. Yeah, Baker Mayfield's out. So that's up-to-the-minute news that I'm getting on NFL Network. Credits to NFL Network. But I like the Packers to win by like 12. If Lamar plays 6 or 7, but if he doesn't, I think it's like 12 or more. I think it's like 3 or 4 touchdowns. I really do. Because I think Aaron Rodgers goes in, he knows how to play in cold weather, he'll be prepared, he won't, you know, won't be like other quarterbacks, he'll be ready. And, you know, I don't know if Baltimore's defense is up for the task of stopping him. So, give me Green Bay to win. Let's say Lamar doesn't play. I'll go with 28 points. I know that's high, but I think it's what I expect from one of these games. Like, one of these games is going to be a blowout. It's probably this one. Packers probably going to Baltimore. Pretty much do them dirty. So, all right, this is a Sunday night game. I don't know why they didn't flex this. There's like 5 other games that could be better. But the 6-7 Saints, who are still alive in the playoffs, and I say alive with quotation marks, heading to Tampa to take on the Tampa Bay Gronkineers. Tampa Bay is favored by 11 at home on Sunday night. Tampa Bay will win by 28 points. Listen, they're due for a big week. The Saints have already beat them once. It's at home, Sunday night. Tom's going to come out, and it's going to be a show. All right? You got to get playoff Lenny a chance to run him a little bit. This is going to be bad. Saints won't be able to stop him. I like Tampa Bay big in this game. 28 points, whatever. I think it's a blowout. Tampa Bay all the way on Sunday night. All right, Monday Night Football. The Vikings, 6-7. Still with playoff chances. Heading to Soldier Field. Off the neighboring Lake Michigan. At its side. The cold wind brewing. The cold winds in Chicago, the Windy City. I've got some people I know going to this football game. Jay and Hannah, if you're listening to this, you guys will have a fun time at this game. Hannah, who is, I'm pretty sure, 45 pounds, will freeze to death in Soldier Field. She will freeze to death. She will be not very happy that my cousin Jay dragged her all the way up for a 5-hour drive up to Chicago to see the Bears probably lose the Kirk Cousins on Monday night, and it's possibly going to be snowing. She will die of hypothermia. I wish her the best. Bundle up, okay? If you're going to go, bundle up. Make sure you wear a lot of warm clothing, Carhartts, stuff like that. Hannah's going to freeze to death, and we'll call it the Hannah Freezes to Death game. That'll be what this game's remembered of. Hannah will freeze to death. And that'll be a fun how we remember this game. No, I'm just kidding. I think the Bears actually have a chance in this game. It's the Vikings. They just lost to the Lions only a mere few weeks ago. So the notion that the Vikings are going to come into Soldier Field and just take over against the Bears, crazy. Now, they are favored by 3.5. Now, okay. Look, Bears have 4 wins. They almost kind of sort of beat the Packers. But if they beat the Vikings, then they're 5-9. If they beat the Seahawks, they're 6-9. If they beat the Giants, they're 7-9. And if they beat the Vikings again, they're 8-9. I don't know how that all will happen in the playoff picture. But Bears fans, I have to tell you something real quick. And the Bears fans don't want to hear this. So Callison, Ryan, Crony, if you're listening to this, plug your ears. Jay Beto, plug your ears. Okay. Connor Crony, plug your ears. The Bears have a chance to win the next 4 games and have a chance for making a playoff spot. I'm just saying. It's out there. You get the Vikings twice, you get the Seahawks, and you get the Giants sandwiched in between. That is a pretty easy schedule. Now, what game will the Bears lose in a heartbreaking fashion, you ask? I don't know. But if I were to guess, going out to Seattle, there's a chance for heartbreak in that. There is. It's Seattle, home of the 12th man. But I like them to win this game, though, at Soldier Field. I know. I should pick Minnesota, but I think Minnesota wins the one at the end of the year. But I think this one, I think the Bears, you know, they get a little bit more prep time. It's on a Monday night. They're going to be stewing about that Green Bay loss at Green Bay. Give me the Vikings to keep it close, but I think the Bears win in a close fashion. It's going to be hard to keep Justin Fields down. This is the first time they're seeing Justin Fields this season, so they're going to have to get used to that. I'm taking Chicago to win, but close, very close. So I'm taking the Bears, I'm taking the Bucks, I'm taking the Packers, I'm taking the Rams, Niners, Bengals, Jags, Steelers, I'm taking Washington, I'm taking Dallas, Miami, Arizona, Buffalo, Indianapolis, Cleveland, and Kansas City. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you listening, especially because my throat is a little bit sore still. It's still kind of recovering. So I do want to thank you guys for putting up with my my voice. But next podcast, I should be able to be back kind of working hard. But I really wanted to put an episode out. So I do apologize for a scratchier throat than usual. Hopefully it's not too bad to listen to. But, you know, thank you guys so much for listening. And especially during the holiday season, a lot of downtime, a lot of traveling. So, you know, pop on my show. We got on Anchor. We got it on iTunes. We got it on Spotify. It's for everyone to see. So check that out. And also check out the First and 10 podcast with my cousin Patrick and his buddy Reed Murray. They're talking Big Ten football as always, especially now with the bowls out. I might go do some stuff with them. Who knows? Maybe do some bowl projections on the show, maybe. Maybe we'll do a little bit of that. And, of course, since Purdue is top five in the country, I want to start doing more college basketball stuff on the show. So a lot of fun stuff coming on the show, more than just NFL. So I got some stuff cooking. So I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys have a good rest of your football weekend.